Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wither Mutual Funds. This column was piqued by an article in the Financial Times that was published on March 21st, titled The Mutual Fund at 100. Is it becoming obsolete? If you have access, I found it worth reading. Let me quote the opening. 100 years ago on Thursday, Edward Leffler, a former door-to-door salesman of pots and pans, revolutionized financial markets. His invention, the open-ended mutual fund, allowed retail customers to buy into a diversified portfolio of stocks and be confident that they would get a fair value when they wanted their money back. Leffler's innovation gave lower and middle-class people an ownership stake in American capitalism. It also spawned financial titans like Fidelity and Vanguard, and thousands of smaller competitors that together employ hundreds of thousands of people. Mutual funds manage nearly $20 trillion in U.S. assets and about $63 trillion worldwide, including everything from stakes in fledgling tech startups to government bonds. More than half of all American households and 116 million of the country's 333 million residents hold shares in at least one mutual fund. The mutual fund has democratized investment. It has made investing accessible to the average person in an incredibly durable way, says Jody Yonson, vice chairman of Capital Group, the world's largest active fund manager. What is an active fund manager versus the opposite, which is its biggest rival, the passive fund, often known by its most popular incarnation, ETFs or exchange-traded funds? An active fund manager is one who selects the stocks and makes the decisions on buying, selling and amounts. In the 1980s until his retirement, the most famous mutual fund manager was Peter Lynch with the Fidelity Magellan Fund that consistently outperformed benchmarks. Active fund managers tout their star managers who they claim and at times with full justification beat the market benchmarks. This can be through better stock picking, stock timing or strategies, using options to enhance yield, going short, hedging, and the like. Scams and frauds. Before I go further with active versus passive funds, let's talk a little more on funds. As the Financial Times article helpfully pointed out, prior to Leffler's innovation, many individual investors had two choices: buy individual stocks or bonds, which unless you were very wealthy lacked diversification, or invest in unregulated investment pools. Generally, there were a lot of scams and fraud in the 1920s, which were exposed even prior to the crash of 1929, but the crash really exposed them and led to fundamental reforms like the formation of the Securities and Exchange Commission. A lot of the unregulated investment pools were scams. Investors were not told what the stocks were, fees and profit levels, and so on. Basically, omakase for investors, where the chef was not an investment chef but a shyster and grifter. Hence, Leffler's innovation gained in popularity. There are many forms and permutations like open and closed-end mutual funds, but in essence, mutual funds pool money, buy stocks, or bonds or both, and investors can enter and exit as they wish. The type of financial instruments they can or cannot buy are disclosed, as are the holdings plus the fees and profit carry if charged. Fees are generally set on a scale based on the amount invested and, while not excessive, are considerably more than buying a stock or bond directly. The purpose for that, besides compensation to the fund's management and organizers, is to encourage long-term holding rather than in-and-out trading in the fund. An open fund is where investors can keep adding or taking out money. Therefore, the fund size can increase or decrease in size, regardless of what happens to the underlying stocks or bonds. That was the dilemma with Fidelity Magellan, as it got so big that after it was opened to investors in 1981, it grew to over $100 billion in assets by the 1990s and for a long time was the largest mutual fund in the world until April 2000, when it was displaced by what was to become the passively managed Vanguard S&P 500 Index Fund. It got harder to find good stocks at reasonable prices and size, given how much it had to invest as new investors kept adding funds. Its pinnacle was when it was managed by Peter Lynch from 1977 to 1990. Here is a quote from Wikipedia's article on the Fidelity Magellan Fund. Peter Lynch took the reins in May 1977 and remained the manager of Magellan for the next 13 years. Between 1977 and 1990, the fund averaged over a 29% annual return, making Magellan the best-performing mutual fund in the world. Lynch created the investment process commonly referred to as buy what you know. Lynch proposed that the person on the street is just as capable of identifying good stocks as a Wall Street professional, and noted that many of his best stock picks came from his experiences with a company as a customer, rather than through usual trade publication or analyst reports. Many good tips came from his wife, who did most of the household shopping and occasionally noticed customer trends before professionals did, a phenomenon he called street lag. Investing approach. Lynch bucked many prevailing trends on mutual fund investing, such as buying many more stocks than usual. Magellan had about 60 stocks when Lynch took over, and he was advised to trim that number to 25 to 30. He instead bought hundreds of stocks he believed were bargains, including the then unusual step of owning multiple stocks from the same industry, for example, dozens of savings and loan associations or convenience stores. In 1989, Magellan held an unheard-of 1,400 stocks. In 1989, just before relinquishing the management of the Magellan Fund, he published his bestseller One Up on Wall Street, published by Simon & Schuster. The book provides an insight into his investing approach. He popularized the idea of growth at a reasonable price. He used the ratio PEG, P/E ratio divided by per share growth rate, as a metric. He regarded PEG ratio of 1.0 or lower to be an indicator of inherent value. He preferred stocks with sustainable growth. He examined the attributes of potential 10 baggers and 4 bagers. The Magellan Fund was not open to the public until mid-1981. Only the Johnson family was able to invest in it. Peter Lynch retired at 46 but continued to stay on at Fidelity as a senior advisor. He is independently wealthy with a net worth of $352 million in 2006. Lynch was the exemplar of the deserved superstar mutual fund manager given his consistent average return of 29% per annum. I would have piled on and invested as well if I had the money at that time. Alas, while there are many other accomplished star fund managers, like for emerging markets, Mark Mobius, who I had the privilege to meet and told me an amusing story in the early 1990s when the Philippines was down, given the power outages and coup attempts, was considered the most famous investor in emerging market stocks. He told me, "Don't feel so bad about the Philippines. We are more forgiving of Brazil and the Philippines because we like the place and the people. Now if, falters I will slam them." Alas, while there are many successful active fund managers, many had merely mediocre returns which after fees, expenses and profit carry were not markedly superior to the indices, like S&P 500 for the USA and MSCI Asia Index for Asia, and so on, that they were benchmarked against. Hence, the rise of the passive mutual fund. Era of passive funds? The opposite of the actively managed funds are naturally the passive ones, which are touted as the traditional mutual funds replacement, the exchange-traded funds. They require no fund manager picking stocks and seeking to outperform the relevant benchmark. Instead, the fund just mimics the benchmark and given the lack of trading and discretion, it is a low-fee fund and cheap to enter and exit. If it is like Vanguard's S&P 500 fund, the holdings are exactly that of the S&P 500 down to weightings of in the index of the 500 stocks. If the weightings change, or some stocks are added or removed, that is the only time the fund buys or sells stocks. Therefore, one is betting on whatever index the fund is based on, and nothing more. Many times, these index funds with their low-cost structure have net returns equal, better or close to the actively managed funds. So, mediocrity or inconsistency among the active fund managers is more closely scrutinized and investors with their money to add or remove their funds from funds. Wither traditional mutual funds and are we now in the era of passive funds? Yes and no. While passive funds now hold over 60% of the funds in equity mutual funds in the US, the active funds are not going away tomorrow, but they are declining. There also is still attraction for active fund management when there are star managers with a consistent record of net outperformance. Actively managed debt funds also remain popular given there are so many bonds, and it may be cumbersome to be passive managed. Lastly, outside of the US and especially for emerging market equities, active management is still preferred as there are both liquidity issues even for index stocks, meaning can I buy or sell my holdings without disrupting the underlying price and are there sufficient buyers or sellers as the fund deals with its stock positions. The rule for equity mutual funds are the more mature and liquid the markets are, the more popular passive index funds seem to be.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.